Bestonite is Coot Blackson, a beloved inspirational speaker, transformational teacher. He is the author of the national best-selling book, You Are the One and the Magic of Surrender. He is widely considered the next generation leader in the field of personal development and has been featured on Larry King Now, Fox and Friends, Dr. Drew. And I loved this part about his bio that Inc. magazine calls him the mindfulness guru that billionaires go to for advice. Friends, would you help me please welcome for the first time here on the Circles platform our guest tonight, Coot Blackson? Coot, thank you for being here, my friend.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate the invitation. It's lovely to be on.
You're very welcome. You know, I can read about you, I can talk about you, but I wondered if you could take some time to just unpack you a little bit, my friend. Tell us your story. How did you end up here in this place in life that you find yourself now?
Well, that's a big question. It's a big question because I think as human beings, we all have our unique stories. Every single one of us have an amazing story of what we have lived and what we have overcome. So I'll do my best to give you a little synopsis just so that you can get a sense of who I am. In a nutshell, I was born in Ghana, West Africa. My father's from Ghana. My mother's Japanese. I grew up in London. Live in the US now. So I've always felt like a citizen of the world. And as a young boy, I never felt like I fit in anywhere. Like I didn't feel like I was British. I didn't feel like I was African. I didn't feel like I was Japanese. And so I never felt like I fit in. And that began to force me to question like the sense of like, who am I? If I'm not from this culture and if I'm not from that culture, who am I and where do I belong? And that drove my spiritual path as a soul in this human experience. And so as a young boy, some would also say I had a bit of an unusual childhood, but I thought how I grew up was quite normal in that my first memories as a young boy, I remember seeing a crippled woman crawling on the floor. She picks up the sand, literally the gravel that this man walks on, wipes it on her face and stands up. Week after week, I grew up seeing blind people see and deaf people hear. The same man whose gravel she picked up would look at a woman in a wheelchair and say, "Hey, why are you in this wheelchair? Stand up." And he would pray for them and look at another person who would come in, let's say, with crutches. And he would say, "Hey, throw your crutches away, like walk." And people would often say to me, like, "Coot, come on, did you really see that stuff? Isn't it a scam?" And it just so happens to be that this guy was my father. So I saw stuff firsthand every day, pre-internet, pre-cameras. And I grew up with the sense of possibility. I grew up with the sense that the miraculous was normal and the miraculous was available to us all, which in and of itself was a blessing because as a young boy, I grew up with a sense of the unlimited nature of life. And a bit about my journey from there was my father built 300 churches in Ghana, West Africa, a huge church in London, was considered a miracle man. From age 8, I started to speak in my father's churches. From 14, I was ordained as a minister. But at 14, I knew that wasn't my path. I knew that for me, my entire life was basically set out for me by my father. And he was designating me his successor. But I knew that wasn't my path. And so I think like many of us, I allowed fear to hijack my freedom. I allowed fear to stop me from fully expressing who I really am. My fear was if I dared to be who I am, if I dared to speak my truth, if I dared to let my father know how I really feel, that I would be out, be alone. And I said nothing. And so for 4 years, I went through this internal turmoil of questioning, of trying to fit myself to become who I thought I needed to be in order to get love and validation and approval. And so many of us do this and we experience suffering because when we betray ourselves and when we betray our soul and when we betray our knowing and when we betray our essence, it is painful. And I felt a deep pain for 4 years as a young man. And when I turned 18, everything shifted for me because that's when I felt this calling in my soul. The calling in my soul was go to America. The calling in my soul as an 18-year-old boy was go to America. I wanted to go into this field of personal growth and self-help because what happened was at age 8, I would sneak into my father's office every day and I would steal his books. And he had thousands of books on his bookshelf, everyone from Wayne Dyer, Louise Hay, Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson. And I devoured these books. And so all of these folks happened to live in LA in California. And that's how I ended up in LA, in that I felt this calling to come to the US. And I always tell people that sometimes what your soul guides you to do won't make sense to your mind. There might be things that you've been guided to do. Those of you listening to this moment, to this session, to this live call, there might be nudgings of your soul that your soul is guiding you to do. Internal nudgings, your soul is saying, do this, go this, create that, launch that. And it may not always make sense to your mind. And many times your soul nudgings doesn't make sense to your mind, doesn't make sense to your logic, because it's not meant to, because it's arising from a deeper dimension than your mind, than your logic. It's arising from the deeper intelligence of your being. And so I was guided to come to America as a young boy, 18 years old, knew no one in the country. And I said, yes, what I have found, what I have lived, what I can promise every single person is that if you listen to your soul will always, and I mean always, I have lived it and seen it in my life through high and low, you will always end up in the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right thing, even though the route and the map and the relationships that you take may not be the route that you expect. Things may not make sense in the moment, but your soul will guide you. Your soul has an intelligence. And so in that moment, I looked into my future. I saw that I could follow the expected path to my life and take over my father's ministry, take over my father's church. But if I didn't have myself, if I didn't have my integrity, if I didn't have my truth, what kind of success is that? That if I lie to myself now, I'm going to have to lie to myself for the rest of my life. And that's when I knew I had to have that conversation. That's when I knew I had to be bold. That's when I knew I had to surrender. That's when I knew I had to speak my truth. And that's when I had that conversation with my father. Told him I'm not taking over. We didn't speak for 2 years, which was very challenging, very difficult. But I knew that I was on the right path. And long story short, I ended up winning. Literally, I know this sounds crazy, folks, but I ended up winning a green card in the green card lottery. DV1 green card lottery. American government gives away 55,000 green cards in the green card lottery. I ended up winning this green card. And I won't bore you with all the details, but you could say it was a miracle. And that's why I'm a firm believer. When you follow your soul, and you follow this intelligence of life that is living you and breathing you, it knows what to do. It knows how to unfold your destiny in the perfect way. And life will support you when you are in harmony, in sync, and alignment with it. I won this green card, came to America, 2 suitcases, $800, knew no one in the country, and began my journey. And that's how I ended up in the US. That's how I ended up in Los Angeles. After a couple of years here, just to wrap the story, after a few years in the US, I decided through a series of events and a series of what I determined as failures at the moment in my life to travel. And I ended up putting everything in storage, packing my bags. And I said, I want a breakthrough in my life. And I ended up traveling to Israel and meeting some rabbis, ended up walking the Camino, ended up in India. And it was my time in India that really cracked me open to another level of my purpose and life. And that's when I came back 20 years ago with a pure desire to help people and inspire people. And that's when I came back and began coaching people one-on-one. And slowly one person showed up, another person showed up, and organically, out of the pure desire to be of service to people and transform people's lives, my coaching, you could say business grew. People came from around the world, and slowly but surely, small groups and larger groups and larger groups and larger groups and 2 best-selling books. And Jeff, here we are. That's the short version of my story.
Wow. Anybody feel like you're in the right place at the right time? Come on, anybody. A little heart in the air already. So profound, Coot. So amazing. I came across the late Jim Rohn on my journey to travel. Similar story, was attending one of his seminars at the age of 27 then and had this mind crack opening awareness that this was what I was called to do. Similar story. My mother always told me that I would be a preacher when I grew up and traveled similar paths. And what drew me to your story is the climax that you had that said, although these people, even my own family, will love me tremendously, if I follow suit, I have to listen to my soul.
Yes.
I wonder if you could tell us a little bit more about the war you experienced when you chose to follow that soul calling.
Yeah.
And then was there a pivotal moment that made you break free from all of that? And regardless, here I go. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What was that pivotal moment? Help us do that. We might be on that fence today.
For sure. You know, look, for the longest time during that time of my life, I desperately tried to be what the world wanted me to be. I desperately wanted my father's approval. Many of you listening, maybe you have that relationship or that connection or that bond with a parent or someone in your life. I desperately wanted my father to love me. And my fear was, if I speak my truth, then I'm going to lose his love and I'm going to be alone. And then what? And so it terrified me. And sometimes here's the mistake that people think. Because, you know, I've read 800 self-help books by the time I was 18. And many of the self-help books paint this sort of utopic picture. Like, you find your purpose and the unicorns start singing and the violins start playing and everything is easy. I found it to be like, hey, sometimes, folks, when you find your purpose in life, your true calling in life, that's when the challenges really begin. That's when you face the difficulties. That's when you face some of the hard times. And many times when we go through the storms of life, because we feel like we're following our soul, you feel like you're following your soul calling, and the challenges begin. We sometimes feel like, oh, what am I doing wrong? Maybe I'm on the wrong path. Maybe it was the wrong decision. Maybe the universe has abandoned me. But sometimes, here's the thing. When you truly follow your soul, and you can say in your heart, this is what my soul is guiding me to do. This is what the universe is guiding me to do. And you feel that authentically in your being. And you are faced with challenges and difficulties and hardships and hard times and dark nights of the soul. You will go through those. They are what I call soul tests that you have to go through in order to grow through, in order to develop the mental, emotional, psychological, spiritual muscle so that you can be more ripe and ready to become the person who is capable of fulfilling the dream and the vision. So if you're going through one of those moments, I don't know if anyone's going through one of those moments right now, but if you're going through one of those moments, just let me know. But if you're going through one of those moments, just know, don't give up. You're on the right path. Don't give up. You're actually closer than you think in that moment. Sometimes going through the darkness, and I went through many dark moments in that period of my life, Jeff, going through the darkness, we often think darkness is bad, but going through the darkness can be a gift. The darkness and the difficult moments that you go through, whether it's in your relationship, whether it's at work, whether it's financially, whether it's in career, whether it's within yourself, those dark moments are not sent to break you. Those dark moments are sent to break you open. Because when there is darkness in life or challenges in life, sometimes it's difficult to look out at life. What am I doing? Where am I going? I don't know. I can't see. It feels so dark outside. The darkness is an invitation to force you to go inside, to force you to connect with your soul, to force you to connect with your deeper truth, to force you to connect to the divine intelligence within you, to force you to connect to God, to force you to connect to your deeper truth. And as you connect to that, you will connect. The darkness is forcing you to connect to your own light, the light and the power that is inside you. And so during that period of my life, there was a lot of darkness for me. It was very challenging for me. But what I knew for myself was that I did not have a choice. You see, for me, I think one of the things that keeps us stuck as human beings, and I've had the privilege of working with thousands of people one-on-one, you know, hundreds of thousands of people in large group seminars, small group seminars. One of the things, and there's many that if we have time, I'll share. One of the things that I see that stops us, blocks us from breaking through, going to that next level, truly freeing ourselves, manifesting that what we feel is our potential in our heart, are all of the lies that we tell ourselves. Let me repeat, all of the lies that we tell ourselves. And sometimes we're not even conscious that we're lying to ourselves. We've just been conditioned. We've become a version of ourselves that we thought we need to be to get love, validation, and approval. And we believe that the version of ourselves that we've become is who we are. And now we're living life from the role, the mask, the persona of who we developed into. And then we set our path, and then we set our purpose, and then we set our goals based on a false version of ourselves. And then what tends to happen is sometimes you might manifest what you thought you wanted, only to realize that what you thought you wanted was just what you thought you wanted based on who you thought you were. Are you with me, folks? And so to truly have a breakthrough, we have to start with the truth. What is the truth? We stay in relationships. And I hope it's okay, folks, that I can be real with you today.
Come on, you're like, doing fine.
Like a no BS, no fluff conversation. Can we go there, folks? We stay in relationships that we know is not right. Who's been there? We work jobs that we know is not in our integrity and not the true purpose for why we were born. We say yes when we mean no and betray our souls, betray ourselves to get love, validation, approval. Wonder why we're not happy. So to truly have the breakthrough, we have to be willing to tell the truth. So I would invite you to ask yourself, number one, first question. You can even write this down. What lies am I telling myself? What lies am I telling myself? There is no transformation without truth. There is no breakthrough without truth. There is no next level manifestation without truth. There is no joy, abundance without truth. Truth is real spirituality. Truth is real yoga. Truth is real freedom. Truth is real spiritual practice. So if we can start with the truth, because it's the truth that will set you free, you have to want to be free more than you want what you have. You have to want to be free more than you want what you think you want. And if we can just start with the truth, that is the beginning of transformation. But many times the ego, that which we believe ourselves to be, we play this game of, you know, who's played this? This game, I definitely have. This game of confusion. Like, I'm not sure what if this is right for me. I'm not sure what my purpose is. I don't know what my, we know what our purpose. Deep down, there's a knowing. Deep down, there's a part of you that knows everything, because at the deepest level, you are connected to everything. Sometimes we play the game of, like, I don't know what my purpose is, because it's an unconscious way for the ego to play safe. It's an unconscious way for the ego to play safe, because if I don't know what my purpose is, or I pretend to not know what my purpose is, then I don't have to really go for it. I don't have to really go for the dream. I don't have to really put myself out there, and I can always have the future fantasy and hope of possibility of manifesting my purpose. And so if we can just start with the truth, what lies am I telling myself? Just sit with that question today, folks. If all you do is start telling the truth to yourself, you will begin to set yourself free and you'll begin to create a new reality. I would say take the pressure also off of yourself from having to take any action. Because sometimes the fear of the consequence, my fear was, oh my God, my no one's going to love me. I'm going to be alone. I'm going to lose my father. Sometimes the fear of the consequence triggers the ego's self-protective mechanism to go into this smokescreen of confusion. So if you can just start with the truth, take the pressure off of yourself from having to take any action, and just begin by acknowledging what is. What is? In order to change what is, you have to look at what is and acknowledge what is, so that you can shift and transmute and alchemize and let go and transform what is. In order to get from here to New York, LA to New York, you have to acknowledge that you're in LA. And so for me, the beginning of a breakthrough starts with acknowledging, you know what? I'm no longer in love in this relationship. It's scary to acknowledge the truth. I'm no longer in love. You know what? I hate my job. Scary to acknowledge, because, oh my God, what does that mean for survival? You know what? I have an alcohol problem. No judgment, but just the truth of acknowledging where you're at. When you can acknowledge the truth of where you're at, it begins a process inside. You start to feel those feelings, the grief, the pain, but you start to feel things, and that can start moving you in the direction. So when we lie to ourselves, it is painful, is it not, folks? Who here you felt the pain of lying to yourself? It's painful when we lie to ourselves. It's meant to be painful when you lie to yourself. To me, the fact that you feel pain when you lie to yourself is a sign that you're healthy. Because when you lie to yourself, it's painful. It's meant to be painful. It's not meant to feel good. The challenge is what we do as human beings is we tend to protect ourselves and we tend to distract ourselves from the pain. Pain is a messenger. Pain is a blessing. Pain is a gift. Pain is simply feedback showing you where you're not in alignment. So as a young man, Jeff, I felt tremendous pain. There was pain of feeling I was not in alignment with my truth. I was not in alignment with my soul. And the pain How I made the shift was the pain felt so great, and I allowed myself to feel the pain. The pain felt so great, I was not willing. And what many of us do, we distract ourselves. We drink it away, smoke it away, sex it away, drug it away, social media away, shop it away, meditate it away so that we don't feel the pain. But the pain is feedback. So if you're feeling pain in your life, I'm not saying wallow in it, but what I am saying is ask yourself, befriend the pain, and ask yourself, pain, what is it you're trying to communicate to me? What is it that you're trying to tell me? What is the message that you have for me? What would you like me to know? What would you like me to change in my life and course correct and let go of? Because the thing is this, the next level in your life, the next level, folks, just imagine whatever that next level is for you right now. The next level in your life requires the next level of you. Let me repeat, the next level of your life requires the next level of you, and the next level of you requires that you let go and release whatever is no longer aligned. Whoever is no longer aligned, the patterns that are no longer aligned, you can't create the new being the old version of yourself. The old has to die. Yet what we tend to do as human beings is hold on to who we were, hold on to what was, hold on to what we know, hold on to old patterns, hold on to old belief systems out of comfort and self-preservation and familiarity, not realizing that holding on to what is no longer aligned is actually blocking your blessing. Holding on to what is no longer aligned is your affirmation of your lack of trust in the universe, and holding on to what is not aligned is your affirmation and your prayer. So I would invite you to sit with today as we begin this, you know, live session. What is it that I need to let go of? If I'm really honest, what do I need to release? What do I need to let go of? What is no longer in alignment with the next level? There might be things that you've been doing that deep down you know, this is no longer working. There might be people that you've been hanging out with where you know, it's like, you know what? It's draining my energy. We're no longer a vibrational match. There may be ways of being, there may be stories, there may be addictions, there might be thought patterns that you're kind of running that you know, like, I cannot manifest the next level and be a contribution at the next level to humanity doing what I'm doing. And so if you're listening to this right now, probably no accident. There's something inside of your soul that must be ready. There's something inside of your soul, each and every one of you, that is ready. That's why you've manifested this conversation and we've manifested each other. And so what is it you must let go of? It's when you let go that you create space. It's when you let go that you clear space. If you want a breakthrough in your life, let go, let go, let go, let go. And you will see your vibration rise, your vibration shift, and you will see that now there will be the space for new blessings and new opportunities and new relationships and new possibilities to show up in your life. And so for me, that's what I had to do with my father, which was have that conversation. And I'll be honest, I was terrified. Sometimes there's this myth, Jeff, that we have to be fearless in life. I believe that is not true. I was terrified. And some of you might be like, oh my God, I got to do this thing. Yes, I was terrified. The thought of having a conversation with my father at 18 terrified me, but I had to do it. I felt like I did not have a choice. And so that's how I got through it. And the other thing I'll just say is it took me about 4 years, 3 to 4 years of grieving, truly grieving the life I thought I had. Grieving who I thought I was, grieving. And so many times we have to allow ourselves to grieve the old. The caterpillar that is crawling on the floor, crawling on the ground, has to give up being a caterpillar so that, and the comfort and the safety of crawling on the floor and the life that it knows so that it can metamorphosize into the butterfly so that it can fly and reach its fullest potential. What do you need to let go of, folks? Today's your day. Now is your time. This is your moment. What do you need to let go of to truly fly? And so for me, I had to let go of the life that I knew. I had to let go of my father. I had to let go of everything. And I felt like I didn't have a choice. And it's going to be scary sometimes. It's going to be challenging sometimes. But to hold back the impulse that you feel, to hold back the calling that you feel, that is the greatest pain. And that is what makes us as human beings over time, psychologically, spiritually, psychically, energetically sick. Because now our energy cannot flow.
Wow. I just want to sit in that for a moment, friends. Just sit in that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for showing up in all. Friends, if you're just joining us, we're listening to Coot Blackson, transformational teacher, speaker, visionary, and I could read his list, but I believe a moment profit for everybody on this call. I truly believe that things don't just happen. Things happen just. And my brother, if for no one else but me, I needed to hear this. You've woken something up in me, Coot, that I believe had been laying dormant until the time that I got on this call with you. So for that, I'm entirely, entirely grateful. Friends, what lies am I telling myself? And what do I need to let go of? Coot, when you talk about letting go,
yes,
the word that comes to my mind is surrender.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Talk to me about surrender. I know it's one of the titles of your book, The Magic of Surrender. Where did that evolve from? Talk to us a little bit.
Yeah, I wrote the book, The Magic of Surrender. And I'll be honest with all of you and transparent with all of you. This was not the book I planned to write. This was not the book I wanted to write. I wrote a best-selling book called The You Are the One, national bestseller, sold a lot of copies. And again, to be really honest, I thought I would be smart, folks. I thought I was going to be intelligent. And I thought, okay, I'm going to write a mega bestseller now, you know? And I thought I would be intelligent. And I came one day with a whiteboard in my office, and I thought, I'm going to strategize the system, and I'm going to write the book that my publishers would want, that my audience would want, that would get me on the next big bestseller list. And I came up with about 50 ideas, 75 ideas, some of which were brilliant, some of which were amazing. Maybe one day I'll do them. But if I was very honest, none of those felt authentic. I couldn't look any one of you in the eyes and say, that's it. None of those felt true to my soul. The only word on this whiteboard that felt true was the word surrender. And I thought to myself, oh man, I don't know. I don't know if I want to write about surrender, because we have all of these misconceptions about surrender. And it's kind of like we know we should do it, but we don't. And I resisted, and I resisted until I just said, okay, this is the book that is seeking to happen. This is the book that I feel the energy. This is the book I feel that is emerging, that is life seeking to create through me. And so I had to surrender to the book about surrender. And when I did, the magic happened, you know? And so what I will say is how the book came about, then I'll talk a bit more about surrender, is in 2016, this is where the seed of the book was planted, and the seed for this theme of surrender became very significant in my life. The end of 2016, folks, my mother was an amazing Japanese woman. If there's one thing I'm blessed in this life, it's I was blessed to have a mother. And I know many of us, we're not as blessed to have had a mother that loved us. And I feel that. And maybe it's my good karma, but I was blessed to have a mother that just loved me. She wasn't perfect, but I knew what love was. And so she was the person I was closest to. You know, she sacrificed for me. She gave to me. I mean, this Japanese woman, my mom, was my everything, folks. And so 2016, end of 2016 hits. I just came off of Larry King. And here I am, Coot, on a high. And life has a way of humbling you, folks, you know, bringing you to your knees. And I literally walked out of Larry King, a childhood hero of mine. That night, I get a phone call. Your mother has stomach cancer, stage 4. I'm on my knees. I'm crying. big spiritual motivational. I'm just in tears. And I fly to London. My mother lives in London. I'm in LA. I basically decide, folks, to fly to London. And I ended up flying for 1 year, every month for a year, for 1 week. 3 weeks in LA, 1 week in London. And I would just take care of her and be with her in chemo sessions. And what started out as the worst year of my life ended up becoming the best year of my life because I got to just be with her, you know. And so long story short, about 7 months into the process, the doctors finally looked, you know, that moment where dread hits. The doctors finally said to us, there's nothing we can do for you. Basically, you're going to die. So get your affairs in order. And I remember crying in the hospital room. I was preparing for that moment, but nothing prepares you to lose the person you love the most in this human lifetime. And I felt so, I don't even know if I had words for it, folks. I just felt like, wow, I'm never going to see my mother again. My mother will never meet her grandchildren. I'll never be able, all these dreams and all of these things I wanted to do with her. You know what I realized in that moment, folks? And this is just a side note to my point. What I realized in that moment was the biggest and only regret I had in my life in that moment was not spending more time with my mom. Because I thought I had time. I thought that there was tomorrow. I thought there was the, and I realized in that moment there really isn't. And all the things I thought were important in life, here I was saving the world, transforming the world, being on stages of 1,000 people, and didn't make time for my mom because I was too busy. And my heart, honestly, folks, I was full of regret. And I thought, wow. So what I'm saying is, hey, folks, call your moms, call your dads, call your loved ones, because in that moment, the only thing that mattered was, wow, I wish I had spent more time with her. And so as blessed as I was to have this time with her, I looked my mother in the eyes, and this is where the seed for surrender was planted. I looked my mother in the eyes, and I said to her, are you afraid? Mom, you're going to die. I mean, how do you tell your mom you're going to die? Mom, you're going to die. Are you afraid? Like, it's coming. And she looked me in the eyes, this little Japanese woman, folks. Love her so much as I'm sharing this. She said, and I said, are you afraid? And she says to me, no, I'm not afraid because I know I'm not this body. This body is a temporary vehicle for my soul. And this body will die. It will die, son. But my soul is eternal and it will live forever. And I will be guiding you from the other side. And I felt chills in my body as she said that because she was so convicted, you know. And then I looked my mother in the eyes because I felt so regretful. And I said, Mom, what can I do for you in your final days? Like, where do you want to go? What do you want? What can I buy you? Let's travel. And she said, and I'm thinking she's going to say, let's go to Japan. Let's go, you know, around the world. And all she said to me was, there's nothing I want and there's nothing I need. The only thing I want and the only thing I need is what God wants for my life. And that's the moment it hit me. I saw that my mother was in peace. I understood what she was saying, not even in a religious sense, in a spiritual sense. And I understood she wasn't attached to living. She wasn't attached to dying. She was surrendered to the highest unfolding of her soul and her soul's journey. And in that surrender, she was living surrender. She was demonstrating surrender. In that moment, my mother was free. And that's when I saw that surrender is the password to freedom. Surrender is the password. Let me repeat, the password to freedom. That's when I saw that surrender is the most powerful thing that you can do. Surrender is the key to the next level. Surrender is the real secret to unlocking magic. And if you want more magic in your life, you got to surrender. That's the formula, folks. And so when I looked at the great ones, Jesus, Buddha, Gandhi, Mother Teresa, Mandela, Martin Luther King, Bruce Lee, who was a childhood hero of mine, Bob Marley, right? Muhammad Ali, all of these people in their own way, in some capacity, they lived surrender. At some point, they got to the stage in their life where they had to. There was a life that they were living, but they had to surrender themselves to to the divine. They had to surrender themselves to the universe. They had to surrender themselves to God. They had to surrender themselves to that purpose that was bigger than themselves. And it was in that letting go and in that surrender that they transcended their human limitations and they tapped into another dimension of life, potential of life, and life began to flow through them. Life began to use them in ways that they could not imagine. And so what I'm inviting with total conviction, because I've been through a process in my life and knowing, and I've come out the other side, is to say that the more you surrender yourself, the more life will use you, the more miracles will happen, the more magic will happen, the more possibilities will unfold, the more life will manifest through you in ways that you could not even imagine with your limited mind. And so surrender, folks, what is surrender? You might say, surrender? What do you mean surrender, Koo? What is this surrender? Is it like giving up? No, surrender is not giving up. We have so many misconceptions about surrender in our culture. It is not giving up. It is not waving the white flag. It is not being a victim. It is not being a doormat. It is not sitting and doing nothing. We fear that if we surrender, we're going to get left behind. We won't manifest. We're going to get less. I'm going to challenge you all to say, wait. What if you surrendered and you didn't get less in life, but you got more? What if you got more, folks, more than you could have planned, more than you could have visualized, more than you could have manufactured with the limitation of your mind and your personality and your personal power? Maybe not what you wanted, thought you wanted, but what if it was better? Because if each and every one of us, if you look at your life, you check your life, if you look at the best things that have happened to you, meeting your soulmate, meeting that person, having that kid, even if it was difficult, the best things in your life that happened, much of it you didn't plan. It happened in the process of just living life. And so surrender is to let go of control, or I should say the illusion that we are even in control in the first place. Surrender is to stop trying to force and manipulate life to fit your limited idea of how you think it should be and who you think it should be and who you think life should be and how you think life should be, so that you can take the limitations off of life. And so that you can be available and open. It's taking the limitations off of life, being available and open, allowing life to show you, because you see the old paradigm, folks, here's the key. And I'm in the self-help field. I write books, I teach, I do events, I do seminars, but this is the truth, what I've observed. The old ego-based, and maybe you let me know if you've seen this, the old ego-based model of creating and living life is all about make it happen, know what you want and make it happen, and will it into being. I will say you can create from your ego. You can create good things from your ego. There is a place for it. But when you create life from your ego, it is limiting, because the ego is limited. The ego is not able to see the entire picture and unfolding of life. The ego is locked into a very small way of seeing life. And you might manifest what you thought you wanted only to realize that what you thought you wanted was just what you thought you wanted based on who you thought you were. That if you're not in touch with who you really are, your true nature, your goals will be projections and limitations of maybe unmet needs from childhood. And so the question in surrender, and here's the question I want you to sit with, another question. Are you with me, folks? The question I want you to sit with is not what do I want? What do I want? The question I want you to really sit with, if you want to play the game of infiniteness, surrender, is what is it that life is seeking to manifest through me? What is it that this infinite intelligence is seeking to manifest? What is it that the divine is seeking to manifest? What is it that my soul is seeking to manifest through me? And to allow yourself to be open to that, to catch that vision, to allow the inspiration to emerge. What is the deepest impulse of what life is seeking to manifest through me? And attune to that, listen to that, feel that, catch that vision, so that then you can say yes to it and then align your personality, your mind, your ego, your money, your resources, your goal setting, your planning to support the authentic expression of life's intelligence through you. To me, that's when the magic happens. It's bigger than you. It's beyond you. It's unlimited. What life can do through you, what life did through Mandela, what life did through Gandhi, what life did through Bruce Lee, what life did through Mother Teresa, it can do through each and every one of us if we're willing to surrender and get ourselves out of the way. That's when the magic happens. That's the invitation of what I want you to know and see for yourselves. You know, what was interesting, and I throw it back to you, Jeff, but what was interesting is, you know, people often say, really, like, does it work? Folks, I could bore you with story after story after story. I want a green card to come to this country. But I couldn't have planned that. I didn't know it was going to happen. It wasn't guaranteed. It was in letting go that the flow happened. It was in letting go that the flow happened. I remember I was in a relationship in 2020 with a woman I thought was the one. Anyone had those experiences where you were in relationship with someone and you thought you were sure that this person was the one? Who's been there? Can we have a confession? Folks, I was so sure that this person, she was the one. I saw her in the stars, the clouds. You know that feeling you have? It's like you can't see any other alternative. And that was me. I know we've been there. And my heart was open. And I gave everything. And it didn't work out because she wasn't ready and this and that and her own fears. So it was like, you know, when you write a book about surrender, universe, make sure you learn the lessons. I was forced to surrender and it was really hard. And I let go and I said, life, I don't know. I don't know why, but I let go and I grieved it. And it was difficult. And it was challenging. And it was heartbreaking and all of those things. And I was living in Phoenix at the time. And it was funny to back up. Prior to then, beginning of 2019, I was living in LA, guided to buy a house in Phoenix. I didn't know why I was guided to buy a house in Phoenix, but I bought this house in Phoenix. Beautiful house. I would spend some time there throughout the month, back and forth between LA. All during COVID, I spent my time in Phoenix. This woman that I was in a relationship with happened to be living in that area. Okay. But once I broke up with her, I'm like, universe, what the hell am I doing here? Didn't understand. Ended up being guided to go to Miami. Ended up selling, went to Miami, sold my house in Phoenix, ended up moving to Miami. Folks, part of surrender is the willingness to follow the clues. Part of surrender is the willingness to allow, here's the key, to allow life to lead you. Most of the time, we're projecting our limited ego onto life rather than allowing life to lead us. I'm following the clues. I end up in Miami. We all have access to intuition. We all have access to the soul's guidance. The challenge is this. Many times we talk ourselves out of our intuitive knowing because the ego and the mind has a nonstop need to try to understand everything because the ego whose job is to protect you and make sure you don't get hurt and reinforce its existence to keep you safe. The ego thinks that if I can analyze and understand everything, then I can control everything, then I won't get hurt. So when you feel an intuition and a knowing, right? It's like, whoa, I don't know. Call that person. Go to this place. Do that thing. What do? We end up questioning ourselves out of following this intuition. Anyone been there? And that's how we kind of block the intuitive flow of creation and life. We block the flow. Well, what does this mean? And how is it going to happen? How am I going to write the book? I don't know anyone in this industry. I don't have enough money. It's like, here's one thing I had to learn. Here's a secret to surrender. When you feel the guidance and intuition, the intuition will arise. It often won't make sense to your mind. It won't make sense to your mind because it's not arising from your conditioned mind. It's arising from your soul, which is unconditioned. So it's not going to fit into your current mental construct and capacity. If everything makes sense to your mind, probably it's not your intuition, it's your ego. And so so here's the key. Don't question, follow. Folks, this is a lesson I had to learn. Don't question. When it arises, follow. Turn left, turn left. Why? You don't need to know why. And you don't even need to know where you're going. To get to exactly where you need to be, that's when the magic happens. But there's something inside of you that knows. And when you create from that flow, when you create an alignment with source in that way, then your creation is not limited to your past because you're not creating with mind. So try it. You feel a nudging. You know that sense of, something feels off. Go to the grocery store. Pick up the phone and call Susie. Pick up the phone and call Rochelle. Pick up the phone and call Jeff. Like, follow it. Why? Drop the why. Follow it. Pick up the phone. Hey, Kimmy.
I don't know why I'm calling you. I just was guided to call you. And then all of a sudden, Kimmy says, you know, I was just thinking about you. I have this project. Boom. Follow it. Life will reveal itself in the process of living itself. And so, long story short, I get this guidance, folks, to go to Miami. The hell am I doing in Miami? Go to Miami. I go to Miami for a few weeks. Guidance says, move to Miami. Boom. Now I'm living in Miami. Didn't plan to live in Miami. Now I'm thinking I'm going to live in Miami for the rest of my life because I was in LA for 20 years. Okay, Miami's the next spot. After a year, move from Miami. Now I'm moving from Miami. But before I moved, here's the deal. Before I moved, I got this nudging, folks. Go to Brazil. Now, I love Brazil. I've been to Brazil. Anyone been to Brazil? It's a beautiful place. I've done events in Brazil, friends in Brazil. My guidance said, go to Brazil. What the hell am I going to do in Brazil? No reason to be there. No events. What am I wasting my time? Go to Brazil. Okay, you wrote the book about surrender. You got to trust. Long story short, I end up booking a trip, going to Brazil, land in Brazil. I just came back from Egypt, so I was exhausted. And I'm sitting there going, what the hell am I doing in this place? I don't even really want to be here. So I said, I'm going to just work in my Airbnb for 5 days and leave. Long story short, I'll write it in a new book one day. In those 5 days, I end up meeting my wife, the woman that was to be my wife in Brazil. A year later, we have a beautiful baby boy. What can I say, folks? It's bigger than you. If you want magic in your life, things, I couldn't have planned it. I couldn't have scripted it. But if you want, what I will say is if you want more magic, more magic, more magic. Anyone want more magic? When I say magic, I'm talking about abundance, joy, prosperity. If you want more magic in your life, surrender. And that's when you will see grace flowing in ways that you cannot imagine. The challenge is when things don't work out. Anyone had this experience where you thought you were like, oh my God, I want this thing, and it didn't happen? Who's had that experience? And you thought something didn't manifest? One of the ways we block the magic is when goals don't manifest and things don't happen. We get disappointed, we contract, we collapse, we get into a depression, a funk, we curse God out. From the ego's perspective, we're not always able to understand why things don't unfold the way we want them to, because the ego is not able to see it. There's three reasons why things don't manifest in your life. There's more, but I'll give you three. Number one, the vision and goal that you're holding is not in alignment with your soul's highest intention. It's just what you think you want, but it's not in alignment with your soul's highest intention. What we tend to do is we tend to force things to try to be something that is not, doesn't flow. The universe is giving you feedback. So when things don't manifest over and over again, step back, relax. Key, step back, breathe, relax. Reevaluate. See if you could get in touch with the authentic impulse. What is true? What is the real vision? I thought I wanted to win an Oscar, be an actor, do this thing, move to this place, have this career, but maybe not. What is the truth of what I really want? What is the truth of what I'm meant to do? You can catch a new vision and then go back into motion. So number one. Number two, please realize, folks, that it may not be time yet. Timing, everything is seasons, rhythms, timing, cycles. Now it is, we're going into autumn. Yeah, but could I want it to be spring? It's not spring, it's autumn. We just went through summer, now we're going into autumn, the fall, and then there's winter. Everything has a season under the sun. If you look at a mango tree, when the mango is ripe, it will fall. You can go to the mango tree that is unripe and pick an unripe green mango and eat an unripe green mango, but I promise you, it will not taste good. And many of us, we are eating unripe relationships. We are living unripe experiences, forcing something. Ask yourself, am I forcing or am I in flow? When you feel yourself forcing, you will feel a contraction. You will not be in flow.
So step back and be patient. Last thing I'll say is things don't manifest because you have not learned the lesson that you need to learn where you are at right now. You are a soul. Life is a school. Life is a university for your soul's evolution. You incarnate into this human experience in order to learn, to grow, to evolve. Everything and everyone is your teacher. All lessons are repeated until learned. So when you start seeing life as a school, it changes your relationship to life. So when things don't manifest, right, what do we tend to do? Force. Instead of forcing, step back and ask yourself the question. Here's the questions, folks. More questions for you. You enjoying the questions? Question number one, what is my soul seeking to learn? Number two, why did I attract this experience? Number three, what is the lesson I'm unwilling to learn in this experience? If you learn the lesson where you are with who you're with, that is the key to unlock the lock to the next level of your life. Surrender, folks. Surrender. It's the password to freedom.
Surrender is the password to freedom. My, my. Going to sit in it, folks. We have a word called sila. Pause and reflect on this. The chat is blowing up. I can't even get to everyone who is sharing their love back to you. We've had people say, I just felt to sign onto Circles and I dropped in this room. I've heard people declare, I hate my job. Yes. I've had people declare over and over what they're speaking their truth, Coop. And that and now we've got someone saying that's my next tattoo. Absolutely. You're making a huge difference. We're friends. I wish we had 3,000 hours to sit, but we only have about 3 more minutes. There is one question that came up in the chat, Coop. I wonder if you could help us with it. And that is the difference between letting go and surrendering. Can you do that justice in just a couple of minutes?
How long do we have?
We've got 3 minutes by the clock, but I can stretch. I'll hold the doors open for us. Can you hold it open? I'm holding it open. I'm on it right now, brother. You go.
Okay. So I didn't even know there was a chat, folks. So I'm glad. I'm just so glad to know that you're receiving value for me sharing and supporting and serving is my calling in life. So you all also being here is a blessing for me in many ways. Acceptance, letting go. Here's what I'll say. Let me phrase it this way, okay, folks? There is a difference between acceptance, which is a form of letting go, and surrender. Acceptance is letting go of expectation. Acceptance is not surrender. You can be in acceptance, but still be a little resistant. You can be in acceptance, but still be a little pissed off. You can be like, I accept who my husband is, but I don't like who my husband is. And I'm not going to, maybe you've done this in a relationship, but I'm not going to like really give everything and open my heart fully until they change. You're accepting, you're not leaving, but you're not fully like participating. Do you know what I'm saying, folks? So you can be like, it's raining outside. I'm a bit mad that it's raining outside. I'll accept that it's raining outside, but I'm going to stay a bit mad, right? That this can be acceptance. Surrender is the open-hearted participation in the process of life. The open-hearted participation in the process that is life, where you roll your sleeves up and you use every experience for your soul's growth and evolution. That's the magic. Do you get what I'm saying? That's the magic where you use it. So, okay, how do you use it? It's like, okay, how can you learn the lesson? How can I grow? How can I use this situation to evolve? How do I use this difficult situation to realize more of who I am, to recognize more of my potential, to become more of my authentic self? In order to move into true, authentic surrender, here's what I'll say. And this ties to acceptance and letting go. There is no surrender without there's a phase in the middle, folks. That phase in the middle is grieving. Grieving. There is no true surrender without grieving. We must be willing to grieve what was. We must be willing to grieve the old relationship. We must be willing to grieve who we were. We must be willing to grieve, you know, the old phase of our life, moving into a different phase. We must be willing to grieve letting go of our children as we move into adulthood. We must be willing to grieve the dreams that were unmet, that didn't happen. You cannot truly move into true surrender and let go fully without allowing the process of grieving. But in our culture, we're not taught to grieve. In our culture, we're afraid that if I grieve, it's going to last forever. If I grieve, it will overwhelm me. All feelings remain present until fully felt. So here's a question, another one. As you know, I like asking questions. What have you been unwilling to grieve? Many times we don't realize that we're not fully able to surrender. Surrender to that new relationship that showed up. Surrender to be excited about life, full aliveness. Why? Why? Because we're carrying so many layers of subtle, unfelt, unprocessed griefs. The end of a relationship, the end of a potential connection, the end of a phase, the end of a friendship. And we have not allowed ourselves to fully grieve and let go. So what have you not allowed yourself to grieve fully? As you grieve, you release. Grieving happens in stages. I would say, in a nutshell, just to wrap up, take the labels off of the grief and just allow yourself to feel the sensation of the energy of the of what we call grief. Allow yourself to feel the sensation in your body so that it can dissolve and move through you. All feelings remain present until fully felt. No feeling will last forever, but grieving will happen in stages. And when you allow yourself to grieve, you let go of another layer, another layer, another layer, another layer. Your vibration lightens. You know, the load lightens. Your heart opens. You become more available. And surrender starts opening up to you as you become more available to the new possibilities of life. Mm. Grieving is a key component.
Yes. I love it. I am looking at the chat. I needed this in my life, Nani says. Someone else said, I needed you in my life, Coop.
Wow.
I feel so blessed for this. I'm reading some more. I've got one. Amen, 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 Beth Ann. The list just goes on and on. This entire day has been leading me to this exact moment, my friend. Friends, I have put in the chat while Coot has been talking his website. I urge you, go to it. Join his list. You're going to get three of the most powerful videos. Now, this isn't just a little bit. He doesn't give you just a little bit. He gives you everything when you join. And the email that you will get will bless your soul. It'll bless your socks off.
Jeff, can I just share one link for everyone also? For those
that
feel
cool. Yes, of course, please. Of course.
First, I just want to say, folks, it's strange. I do a lot of Zooms and interviews, and it's always with video. And in a very strange way, folks, even though I can't see your faces, somehow, maybe Jeff is the space you've created and everyone's energy. I just feel so much joy in the sharing, even without the visual, seeing your faces. I feel such a beautiful connection with everyone. So thank you for the opportunity. And again, one of the things I really love to do the most is transform people and serve people. So just what I will say is, I would love to connect more. Find me on Instagram, Coop Blackson. Say hi. Send me a message. Let me know what you received from today or any social media channel. In December, for those that might feel inspired, I'm doing a very, very, very special event that is dear to my heart. I've done this event for 11 years. You are all invited if you feel the calling. It's called Boundless Bliss. If you feel ready for the next level of your life, if you feel ready to break through, if you feel ready to connect to your power and your voice and share your gifts with the world. I've done 21 of these events, and they're truly, truly life-changing and perhaps the deepest work I do. If you want to find out more and you feel a calling, just go to www.boundlessblissbali.com. That's boundlessblissbali.com. When I created this event many years ago, I was told that there were souls that were meant to do this and experience the transformation. And when they heard about it, they would know. So that's an invitation to those of you that have been inspired. And I look forward to connecting with each of you along the way. Say hi.
I love it. I love it. And friends, I've dropped that link in the chat. Make sure that you copy it, paste it, or simply go to Coot's website and you're going to find more. Coot, I can't thank you enough being here. I truly believe this was a divine moment. Mm. Friends, a reminder of some of the things that he's dropped on us today. What lies am I telling myself? What do I need to let go of? What is it? This is the one that struck me. What is it that life is seeking to manifest through me? Friends, I believe life is removing things from us to get them out of our way. Things that we become attached to that are no longer our identity. Maybe it started that way, but it's no longer. And we have to yield and surrender to that process of evolution in our own being so that we can get ready for that next level. I'm taking that with me. And for what have you been unwilling to grieve fully and let go of? Coot, we've got about 30 seconds, 60 seconds. Just there's somebody here that still needs to hear a word from you, from heaven, so to speak. Share it with us. Would you, brother, please take us out on something that we can hold
folks,
on to until we can connect with you
I don't
again.
Know. I'm just guided to say this. You are going to die. You are going to die. Embrace your death. Meditate on your death. Feel your death. None of us know when that moment is going to come, and I hope that you will live a long, long life. But the truth is, tomorrow is not a right. It's a privilege. So what if death came today, would you be ready? And if not, why not? And what's ungiven? What's unexpressed? What's unsaid? What's communicated? When you meet your maker, you can't go to God and say, God, can I get a refund on those 3 years I wasted in that relationship? It's gone. How would you need to live in such a way that you have no regrets? Live it now. Love now.
Wow. When you go to God, you cannot get a refund. OMG. Mm. Friends, I can't hold the doors back anymore. They are closing on us. Thank you all. Thank you for lighting up the chat. Thank you for sharing your love back this way. Can we show some love? Throw them hearts in the air for our guest, like you do care.
Visit
his website, boundlessblissbali.com. If you feel led and called, you can apply on the website. I'm looking to try to join you in December. I think I am at a pivotal point in my life, a transformational point in my life, and I need that experience to catapult me into my next level. So I'm praying that I'll be able to join you.
Let's
Sir, thank
do it,
you
brother.
Again for being here. Thank you for your presence, and thank you for sharing your gift with us.
Thank you all.
You're very welcome. Friends, that's all the time we have. You've been live here with Jeff, our guest, Coot Blackson. Please check out his information. Follow him on Instagram. Connect with him. Tell him how much he's meant to you in this session. If you've liked this session, you can follow me. Press and hold. You'll get a chance to get a notification when we hold more meetings like this. Blessings to each of you. Go out and do something with the information that you've been given today. And remember, you cannot get a refund from God. Coot Blackson, thank you. God bless you, my brother. Thank you, everybody. God bless you. We'll see you again right here on Circles. Good night, everybody.